Last week, we started a little bit of a prophecy study that's going to end up being 3 weeks now. I thought I'd finish it today, but there's too much to cover. So last week, this week, and next week, we'll finish it up. And I felt it was important right now to do one because of all we see going on around the world. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, is there not? And so it's good for us to know one of the neat things that we have as believers that the rest of the world doesn't have is that we have God showing us what's going to be happening. And when the Lord shows us what's going to happen, that gives us peace and it gives us a platform to witness to others and to recognize what's coming. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave us blind like everyone else? And so we can explain these things. When people say, what's going on here, what's going on there, then we have some answers for them. And so that's what this is about for these couple of weeks and actually 3 weeks. But glad you're with us. Before we get into it, a couple of things I wanted to share. Some questions, you know, coming up about missions this week reminded me of some things I wanted to share with you guys about what we're involved in and where some needs are. We have been very involved, as you guys know, in different missions locally and worldwide. And with the current military campaign going on in Israel, we've been involved in giving money to the Israeli forces there in the field to buy Leathermans, their little repair kits, so they can fix all their equipment. And we have done that as a church. I felt it was important. You guys know that because your giving goes toward that. If you would like to give more for their equipment in the field, right now there's a ceasefire, but who knows when it's going to flare up again. You can drop down Israel Missions and put that in the Agape box. We'll make sure that we get them more of those Leathermans and the equipment they need. It's not that the Israeli government doesn't supply for them, but even the American government, remember our men needed some supplies they couldn't get. There's odds and ends they don't always supply, and they were asking specifically for Leathermans and also pizza. And since we couldn't send the pizza, I said, well, we're going to send them. They did. They wanted pizza, but we can't do that. So we're sending them Leathermans in the field. Also, you guys know the situation going on in Iraq. And we have a lot of our brothers and sisters in Iraq right now that are fleeing from ISIS and some still trapped on Sinjar Mountain. You know, they've been saying that maybe that's pretty much over there, but there's still, from my understanding, a big crisis on Sinjar Mountain. A lot of people up there, and they're still worried about their lives and their supplies. We have Christians as well as non-Christians that are under threat of this, fleeing to different areas. We just gave thousands last week. We gave a couple $1,000s last week just toward that. And as a church, we gave toward that to buy some supplies for those that are there in Iraq. We were trying to look to see if there's a way we could help to get helicopters to get them off the mountain, hoping that Samaritan's Purse, some large ministry, might be doing that. But nobody's really able to do that because of the military situation. But we are able to send in some money and some help. So we're sending some food, Calvary Chapel Knoxville is, and some supplies. So not only supplying the military there in the battle in Israel, we're also sending supplies into northern Iraq. And as God leads, we're going to continue to do that. If you would like to also add to that, feel free to do that. Just drop the Agape box, put Iraq Missions, and we'll be sending supplies that they need there for our brothers and sisters, as well as just really everyone else there in Iraq. Yeah, so praise the Lord. Yeah. And listen, I don't tell you that. Listen, the only reason I tell you guys that is I want you to know what we're doing. A lot of people say, you know, what's going on with the missions? We're trying to get more of our information on the website. You guys should be able to jump on the website before too long. And, of course, see all the elders, all the board members. We should have all that out there very soon. We've already got our philosophy of ministry. We have a lot of new people, so these questions are coming up. You can go to our website and get philosophy of ministry. You can get missions we're involved in. We have a whole list of missions locally as well as distance. As a matter of fact, Housetop for Haiti. If you want to be involved with Lance and Rhonda, as a church, we're involved monthly with that. They could certainly use some more support. Things are tight down there in the ministry they're doing. And so if you want to be involved in that, then you can go to the website, go to House Talks for Haiti, or go to our website and find a link or contact the church. And also, Zach and Courtney are going to be going down for a year doing missions down there, leaving here at the end of this month. They're going to be spending a year down there just working with House Talks for Haiti, as well as doing English teaching down in Haiti. So we have a lot of different missions going on. I want you guys to be aware of it. Go to our website, see what we're doing so that you can see what we're doing as a church and how you can be involved. And there's a lot of upgrades coming to the website soon as well so that you guys can keep up with what's going on. So today what we're going to do is, you guys, as you know, last week we did Matthew 24. This week and next week we're going to spend in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. So I want you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel 38. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this, and then we'll jump into it today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, God, that you have told us in your word what to expect in the latter days. And Lord, now I truly believe we are living in those latter days, and all the signs are around us that you told us, even as we saw last week in Matthew 24. And Lord, as we see this coming battle with Russia and Iran and the surrounding nations to Israel coming here, I believe very soon, with all of the pieces being in place. And I thank you, Lord, that we have been shown that, your church has been shown, that we know what's coming, that we understand, that brings peace to our heart to know that you're in control. And yet, Lord, when we see all the unrest and the turmoil, it also gives us a platform to be a witness and to share you with those around us. And so I pray, God, as we look at chapter 38 today and 39 next week, that you would further equip us to understand this coming invasion of Russia and Iran and these other nations into Israel, how you're going to intervene, God, how you're going to show yourself to the nation of Israel, and how you're going to show yourself to the nations of the world through this amazing battle. So I just pray you would teach us, that you would be the teacher today, Lord, and that you would just instruct us. Father, we also want to lift up all the turmoil going on right now in Missouri. We ask, God, for your mercy on Ferguson County and all that's happening there, Lord, not just there, but around the country. We pray for your peace and your mercy. And we ask, God, that you would use this for revival. God, what the enemy intends for evil, that you would use for good. And we would see, Lord, a great revival born out of this. So, God, we thank you for your faithfulness and pray now you would teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you guys know that I just prayed about a mission, what's going on in Missouri. If you remember last week, to give you kind of a recap, for those of you that weren't here, and maybe just a reminder and a running go into chapter 38 today, we looked at Matthew 24, verses 1 through 7, and we talked about some of the major things that the Bible says will be happening in the latter days at the very end. Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, or kingdom against kingdom, ethnic group against ethnic group, all these things he talked about in those first chapters. And we talked about that, saying these things have always been happening, okay? But Jesus said you're going to see them increase. It's like a woman in birth pangs. They'll be happening more frequently and they'll be happening with greater intensity when they happen. And these are not just things you look for in America. These are things you look for worldwide. And I find it interesting, as I mentioned last week, I believe we're in the middle of one of those contractions. We see the wars going on all around the world with Russia, Syria, Iraq, Israel, America now getting involved in Iraq. We see the rumors of war with Russia now again moving against Crimea and taking Crimea. Right now, an article here on my desk talking about it coming out of Brussels. NATO says that Russia is poised to invade Ukraine. We know that Russia's already taken Georgia. We'll talk about that in a minute, not the Georgia down south of us. We'd have been involved in that one, I'm sure, right? But the bottom line is all the areas over there, Russia's on the move, and all these things are happening. And now, again, this rumor of war, of Russia moving into Ukraine, the pestilence, we talked about how there have always been those, but now we're going to see them more frequently. And at the same time that these wars and rumors of wars, we see Ebola crop up. And it's interesting, I said, be watching for ethnos against ethnos. They're in verse 7. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation. And remember, I told you the word nation there is not really a good translation in the English. It's actually ethnos will rise against ethnos. We would say today, ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. And we pointed out how over in Iraq right now, you've got the Shia and the Sunnis. Those are two different ethnic groups. They're rivaling. They're fighting against each other because of their background and their history. Now we have this issue in Missouri rising up. And again, Jesus said, you're going to be seeing this. You're going to be seeing more ethnic tensions, more ethnic issues, more fighting among different people groups, whatever the reason. The bottom line is Jesus said it would be happening. And it was interesting to me after we covered that just last week that all these things broke out in Missouri. And we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and even those that don't know the Lord in Missouri and ask him for God's mercy on what's going on there. But here's the main point I want to make on all this. We talked about it last week. You're watching it this week. This is why I believe we are now in one of those contractions, because all these things are happening at the same time. Now, Jesus didn't say they all had to happen at the same time, but oftentimes you'll see them all happening at the same time. This is one of those times where almost every single thing in the list that Jesus gave us, as a matter of fact, everything in that list from Matthew 27 has happened in the last month. Everything. The earthquakes, the pestilence, the ethnic groups fighting, the nation against nation, the wars, the rumors of wars, all of these last days disruptions and tensions that are going to be rising, they've all happened. And this should bring peace to us as believers. Not peace that these things are happening. Guys, our heart breaks. We should be praying and heartbroken over what's happening in Missouri and over in Iraq and around the world. We should be lifting these people up and asking for God's mercy and coming together to pray for them. But the reason peace comes is because we know that Jesus told us this is going to happen, and it shows us that he is in control. And I think one of the things that brings fear in the heart of anyone is thinking that things are out of control. Look, the world looks out of control, but trust me, it is very much under the control of our God. Yes, Satan is working overtime around the world. God allows him that levity until he comes back to establish his throne to a degree, but the Lord still controls everything, and he's the one running the show. And because of this, again, it gives us peace, and it lets us know what's happening. Aren't you glad that our eyes have been opened? Aren't you glad that we understand what's happening? When somebody says, well, what the world's going on in Iraq? I can't believe that. I know what's going on. Really? Yeah, let me share with you. What's happening in Missouri? I know what's going on. Really? Yeah, let me share with you. Turn to Matthew 24. Well, what's going on? And the list goes on. Why all the earthquakes? Why the tsunamis? Why is all this happening? Turn with me to this, and we should know where in the Bible to take them and say, listen, the Bible said in the latter days, right before the Lord comes back, you're going to see all these things happening, many of them all at the same time, like we're experiencing in this current worldwide contraction. And then you're going to see this culminate in a time where Jesus takes the church out of here, and then we see the great tribulation, and Jesus, the contractions really get strong after that. And then the Lord comes back, and this new era with Jesus Christ ruling the earth is born. At that point, the contractions end. The birth of the new era with the Lord ruling and reigning in Jerusalem takes place. And so we rejoice. Now, let me say one thing before we, one other thing before we jump into chapter 38. I know I've said a lot already. But let me say one more thing before I jump into chapter 38. Guys, listen, we need to be praying that this will spawn revival in America. Some of you guys are old enough to remember. I'm barely old enough to remember the films and the very back edge of it. Not really that good into it because I was born in the early 60s. But the bottom line is, in the 60s, as you remember, we had these same types of riots in the streets with the military police approach and all the tear gas and all that. It was Vietnam. Much different issue. It was not an ethnic issue. It was not tensions that are there because of something that's happened and maybe whatever the case might be. I'm not getting into that. My point is, our nation was in upheaval. Our nation was in turmoil. The people that opposed the war, and they were out on the streets marching, and the police were standing against them. That's when we had Kent State, and people shot dead on a college campus, and all these things were happening because our nation was in turmoil. Guys, out of that turmoil came one of the great revivals of American history, and that is the Jesus movement out of California. God saw the turmoil the nation was in. God heard the prayers of the believers in their distress. God poured out his spirit, and there was a revival. Listen, I believe that God could do the very same thing in this. It's actually in some strange way, if we pray about this, this may be something that God uses to turn our nation back to him. Because we certainly need the help of the Lord, don't we? Guys, we can't solve these problems. If we could have solved these problems, they would have been solved a long time ago. This is a work of Jesus Christ and him alone. And so I'm praying, and we prayed this morning, and I'm going to continue to pray that God is going to use this to send revival to our nation. Now, in the midst of what's happening in Matthew 24 and the contraction that we're in one of these contractions, there's going to be a battle. And that's what we're looking at in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Russia and Iran and other nations are going to move against the nation of Israel. God is going to supernaturally intervene and protect and rescue the nation of Israel. And we'll get to that more in chapter 39. But that is what we're looking at today, because I want you to be aware when you watch the world news what's going on, not only locally but around the world. And to you to recognize when you see Russia moving and Iran and their threats against Israel, what this is going to culminate into. And that's where we take up in Ezekiel chapter 38. The prophet is speaking, and notice what he says in verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Now understand, when the Bible uses territorial regions, they use the name of that day. In that day, the territorial region, Rosh means Russia, Meshech is Moscow, and Tobol is Tobolsk. I say that wrong, but T-O-B-O-L-S-K, Tobolsk, Russia. And so the ancient names are used. Don't let that stumble you when you read the Bible. The idea is to look at a map and to see where they are today and then use the ancient names, and that's why I have a map for you today. So if you'll notice the map, and before we even start the arrows, you'll see up here to the left of the map, there's the Black Sea. That's the highest sea in the landmass there. To the right of it is the Caspian Sea. And, of course, the Mediterranean farther down to the left there in the middle. This is going to be the main region where we're going to be talking about this battle and all these nations coming together. And I wanted you today to have a visual of that. First of all, it says that moving on Israel and involved in this is going to be Rosh, which is Russia. But it gets more specific and talks about Meshech and Tubal, which are Moscow and Tobolsk. And you can see the arrows up there. They're going to be coming from these regions. The one on the left is Moscow, which, by the way, is directly north of Israel. They're going to be coming down right around the Black Sea, down toward Israel. Tubal toward the middle are going to be coming down to join them toward Israel. And we don't know the exact path they're going to be taking, so the arrow may not be exactly correct on how they get in there, but they're going to be joining up and coming down in that battle there. Now, again, it's interesting when you see what God says is going to happen to watch what Vladimir Putin has been doing. Because to the right of the Black Sea is Georgia, And, of course, we know that he came in and took Georgia just a couple of years back, the upper region of Georgia. Also down to the Black Sea in that area, finishing kind of that corner right there, we start getting into the Ukraine farther around there, Crimea and that region. So it's as if he's already starting to take territory right there around the Black Sea. And he took Crimea so he would have a port in the Black Sea, which it extends down to the Black Sea in the middle there, that he can travel right on down from. Now, let me say this. I do not believe that Vladimir Putin even knows he's going to move against Israel yet. Because the bottom line is, unless the discussions have already begun, the Bible tells us he will, and we're going to see that in just a moment. But the Bible's going to show us he initially isn't desiring to attack Israel. The Muslim nations want to attack them because they want to destroy them. But something is going to happen that's going to pull Russia into this thing. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Notice he says this, verse 3, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, make sure you see Israel. The arrow on the top there is going to Israel. Israel's right there to the right of the Mediterranean. So these arrows, you'll see what they're pointing to. The reason they're pointing there is because that is where Israel is. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rush. I'll read it the right way. Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. And notice this, verse 4. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws and lead you out. Note that. I have that underlined. With all your army, your horses, your horsemen, all splendidly clothed, the great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now notice it says, I will turn you around and put a hook in your jaw. This is why I say they may not even know they're going to attack Israel yet. Because the Bible gives a picture of Iran and these other nations we're about to get to in just a moment. They're going to be wanting to destroy Israel simply because of their ethnic hatred. They hate the Jews. They want to wipe them out. Ethnos against ethnos. Again, that's where that part of that comes in. Russia is going to be pulled into the battle. It's going to be like catching a fish. It's going to be a hook in the jaw, and they're going to be yanked into it. What is it that could yank them into it? We'll get into that in just a moment. But they're going to be pulled into it. Notice these others that will be involved in the battle, and this is a huge one. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Now, we'll see the arrows of where they're going to be coming from as well, so you can see how they're going to be coming from all sides. Persia is modern-day Iran. And that's where you see the first one right there. Modern-day Iran is going to be joining in with Russia. And again, Iran, as you know, has already been making threats against Israel, saying they want to wipe them off the face of the map. Russia and Moscow have now linked up militarily for the first time in world history. Note that. Russia and Iran have not been allies throughout world history. Now, in our generation, looking at chapter 38 and 39, and God saying they're going to link up, for the first time in world history, Russia and Iran are now military partners and literally have a military agreement. Russia's supplying them with their nuclear needs. According to recent reports by a CIA operative of 20 years, Iran now has a nuclear weapon and ICBMs to deliver them. By 2016, they'll have one that can reach America. They can already reach the entire Middle East. They're just waiting for the right moment and opportunity to use this. Will that be something that will be tried during this battle? I don't know. But Persia is Iran that's going to be coming in. Ethiopia, again, the ancient ethnic hatred against the Jews. There'll be a Muslim religious thing going on there. They're going to be coming up from the bottom to join with them. And so their actual name is used in here. Libya is with them as well. Again, there's Libya. Now, remember what just recently happened in Libya. It fell to Muslim control. That was predominantly Muslim already, but it fell to radical Muslim control. These are areas now that are controlled by radical Muslims that hate the nation of Israel. And so God is going to be gathering them and allowing them to come against Israel to bring them to one place for judgment. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. That will be later after this happens. This is the battle before that. He goes on and says, Gomer and all its troops and the house of Togarma from the north and its troops, many people are with you. Now, Gomer is to the left side. See, coming down around the Black Sea, kind of over the top of the Black Sea and swooping around is the Gomer area. You get Romania, Bulgaria, East Germany, some of those things. Now, they're going to be joining in, coming down from that side. Might even be that part of the Russian troops come over the top there. We don't know. And then Togarma is coming down the other side of the Black Sea, coming down that area and joining in with Turkey. And they're going to, again, come in through Turkey. That's the Togarma area. And by the way, you should be seeing these nations turning against Israel. Every single one of these nations are now turning against Israel. Germany is getting more vile against Israel again. The reports of anti-Semitism going out the roof. Bulgaria, Romania getting more anti-Semitic. Turkey just elected a new leader that is very anti-Israel. So these are all changes. These leaders in these countries used to be for Israel. Now you're seeing some of the leaders still remain to some degree, but the nation as a whole turning against Israel. And of course, the Bible says the entire world will turn against Israel in the last days and will try to destroy them. But you can see now this flood of military activity that's going to be coming in from all sides, according to Ezekiel 38, coming against the nation of Israel. He says, verse 7, prepare yourself and be ready. You and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you'll be visited. Again, speaking to the land of Israel. And note this, in the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. The Lord here, the prophet, is talking about the regathering of the nation of Israel. Gathered from all the nations. Remember, it sat desolate, as he talked about there in that verse, for 2,000 years. And then God said, in the latter years, and note this, guys, the Bible uses a specific term to show the very end. And that is latter. He uses the word latter. Latter years, latter days. Now, you may have heard the term last days. I'm sure you have. Last days is a little bit confusing when it comes to prophecy, because when Jesus died on the cross, biblically, from that point, we entered the last days. So the Bible calls the moment after Jesus died until now, the last days. But then there's a breakdown within that definition where God uses latter days, latter years. And these are always tied to prophecies at the very end. So this battle is going to be one of the very last things before the world wraps, before the Lord wraps up all of his things, his duties here on this earth, and comes back to rule and reign. So now we get, again, the definition here by the Lord that this is going to be at the very end. You'll be visited in the latter years. So we know it wasn't a previous battle because that shows us. And those brought back by the, from the sword that had been long desolate, scattered among the nations, the Jewish people. They were scattered back in 70 AD by Romans. Titus came in, wiped them out. They were scattered all over the world, all over the nations. And God said again, in the last days, I'll bring them back. We saw that happen in 1948. And we saw large numbers continuing to come back since 1948. And this is interesting to me. Because the Bible says in the latter days, God will drive them back to the land. It's almost as if since 1948, he gave them the option. Would you like to come back to Israel? You're welcome to. You have your own nation. You have your own people. But then it says for those who don't come back, God's going to force them back. He's going to cause things to happen in the world that will push them back to the land. Did you know that's happening right now as we speak? With all the persecution going on all around the world, and especially with this recent battle with Gaza, there's so much anti-Semitism and so much hate. They're saying it's not been like this since the days of Hitler. And Jews are realizing, we've got to get out of here. We're in danger. We need to go to a place where we're safe. And the only place we can trust will be safe is among our own people. And now they're flooding back into Israel again. We're about to see a spike in the Israel population because God is driving them back. And this is exactly what God said he would do. And notice he says, you will ascend, coming like a storm. You can see how this would be like a storm, almost like floodwaters coming in on this tiny little nation. Covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. And thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you'll make an evil plan. Again, he's talking about all these nations and especially Russia. The focus here, he's talking about Russia. You'll make an evil plan. That's the context of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages, and I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, this is interesting because you think, well, are they really dwelling peacefully? Listen, what he means is within their own nation, they have protection. They are dwelling peacefully. They have an army. They have a military. Back when Hitler took them and all this happened, they didn't have that. They were totally vulnerable. Now they have protection. That's what he's talking about. But it's interesting. The prophet here mentions when Russia moves against them at the end, here in the latter years, it's going to be against unwalled villages. Guys, that was unheard of back then. During the time that Elijah wrote this, or rather Ezekiel wrote this, they had walls around all their villages. They had to wall their villages. It was their only defense. They didn't have the same type of militaries and defenses we have today. So all the villages had walls. When Ezekiel wrote this, he would have been thinking, wow, what kind of day is this when Israel's going to be in the land? We're not going to have any walls around our villages. I imagine how confused Ezekiel must have been. Now we look at it and we see Israel. The only wall they have is the one that separates them from those around them that want to destroy them. their boundary, their border wall to protect their nation. But within the nation of Israel, there are no walls. It is a land of unwalled villages, even as it was prophesied to be. Neither bars nor gates. He says, why are you doing this? To take plunder? To take booty? To stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, that is Israel, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock, goods, and who dwell in the midst of the land. Now God reveals why they're coming. What is it that pulled Russia into the conflict? It may be some military agreement they made with Iran or someone else, but it would appear here it has to do with financial reasons. They're coming for the booty. They're coming for the reward. They're coming for the plunder, right? And you think, well, you look at Israel, and for years I would look at Israel and think, what plunder could be in Israel? I mean, maybe go down there and get a bunch of nice little, Dead Sea oils and lotions and all that or whatever. But what would be the reason to invade the land? Yes, they've got some silver and gold, which you'll mention in a moment. They have some diamond factories. But for a nation like Russia to invade them, what would be their motivation? Guys, let me tell you a little bit of what's going on right now with Russia. Russia controls the natural gas supply to Europe. The bottom line is, if Europe wants natural gas, they've got to go to Russia. Now, they could certainly get it other places, but it'd have to be shipped a long way. The price would go out the roof, and the supply would be limited. Russia has ample supply of natural gas. They supply Europe with natural gas, and that's how Russia makes their economy go. It is their number one staple of their economy. Their finances and what they're built on is their natural gas. That is why in the recent sanctions that America did against Russia, Europe was very hesitant. And Europe was like, well, I don't know that we want to do this. I don't know that we want to really get involved and do anything there because they may cut our natural gas supply off. And Russia realizes that. They've got them by the throat. You give us sanctions, we're cutting off your natural gas supply, then just freeze all winter. See what that's like, Europe. And they've got Europe basically over a barrel holding their neck. So the problem is, no one has the leverage with Russia they need to have. But Russia is going to be going down to get something from Israel. What could it be? Maybe you saw in the news a couple of years ago, one of the largest natural gas supplies in the world was recently discovered within the last couple of years. Guess where that natural gas supply was discovered? Off the coast of Israel in the Mediterranean. It is so large, they said it could supply the entire world. They said it could easily supply all of Europe's needs and everyone else's needs for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it's so large, they call it Leviathan. Now, this has not come up in the news yet, and I'm not saying this is the reason, but this may be the reason. So if it is, remember you heard it here first from the Lord. Well, the Lord doesn't say specifically what it is, but I'm going to speculate as to what it might be. And again, we'll stick with the word. This is Mark talking. This is not Bible. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says they're going to go down to get some kind of reward and something that pulls them into it because they have to get involved. Here's what I think could very possibly happen. Listen, Israel has now started pumping some of those natural gas supplies to their shores. In 2016, Leviathan will be opened up and they'll have resources to give to the entire world. At that time, if Russia gets ugly, all Europe, and they say, we're going to cut your supply off, all Israel has to do is raise their little hand in the middle of the Middle East and say, excuse me, Europe, yes. You need natural gas? Yes. We've got way more than you could ever use up. Buy it from us and you don't need Russia. Really? Well, then why are we messing with Russia? Well, let's put sanctions on them. They're not behaving. They're doing, yes, Israel, we'll buy the natural gas from you. And then Israel begins to supply Europe with all this natural gas. And guess what? Russia is no longer needed. And Russia no longer has a stronghold over Europe. Russia can have sanctions put on them. Russia's economy now begins to go down. Russia begins to collapse. What do you think a man like Vladimir Putin's going to do? Well, that's nice. We'll just not worry about that, right? That'd be his attitude, you think? I believe what he's going to say or who's ever in charge at that time, we've got to go get that. We cannot allow Israel to have that natural gas supply because they're cutting off our economy. They're cutting off our supply to Europe. They're stopping us from doing what we need to do. Guys, this Leviathan, this gas supply off the coast of Israel may be the hook in the jaw. I'm not saying it is, but it may be the hook in the jaw that pulls Russia, turns them around. They didn't really want to go. They're pulled into it. All the Islamic nations are happy because they just want to wipe out the Jews. Russia doesn't really care about that, but they do want their oil supplies. They do want their natural gas, so they get involved. And now they're going down there going, yes, we'll get these gas supplies. Once again, we'll not only control Europe and Russia, we'll have a stranglehold over the world, so to speak, with all the, you know, the supplies we have. And then Israel's done, and we'll make everything the way we want it to be on this end of the world. This could be the evil plan that he's talking about. We don't know for sure what it's going to be, but I find this very interesting because if Israel makes this offer, be watching the news. And if Israel makes an offer to supply natural gas to Europe, I think you're going to see Vladimir Putin get very upset. Very upset. because it's huge for their nation. Is that what pulls them down? Well, we'll just have to wait and find out. But notice what he says here in verse 13. Now, when they begin to do this, when they come down to gather these the plunder here, to stretch out their hand against them, look at verse 13. It says, Sheba and Dedan, when this happens, and the merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions will say, well, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty and to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Now, by the way, who is Sheba and Dedan? That's modern-day Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia and Tarshish. Now, there's an argument over who Tarshish is. Some say Tarshish is Spain. Some say Tarshish is England. If Tarshish is Spain, it really means nothing to us other than it shows that Spain's going to be involved somehow in this. If Tarshish is indeed ancient England, notice it says Tarshish and all the young lions are going to say, what are you doing? Guys, if it's England, who's the young lion of England? We are. Now, I'm not saying this is America in prophecy, but some that believe America's in prophecy get it right here. So if you ever hear somebody say, well, America's in prophecy and the battle, this is where they get it. I'm not saying it's us, but I find it interesting. Saudi Arabia is not tied into all these other nations. They don't agree with them. Why? The Sunni, I did this last service too. Somebody said Sui. The Sunni and Shia. It's not some kind of pig invasion, all right? The Sunni and Shias fight each other, and Saudi Arabia is one of those ethnic divisions that they have over there. So Saudi Arabia is not joining with them. Yes, they're all Arab or Muslim, but they're not joining in because of the Sunni-Shia divide. And then it says whoever this other group is that's saying, Saudi Arabia is going, hey, what are you doing? You're in our back door. What are you doing? But they don't do anything. Then there's another group that are the young lions of Tarshish, and they do the same thing. They say, hey, what are you doing? But they don't do anything. Guys, listen, I'm not saying this is America, but does this not fit where we are as a nation right now? We are battle weary. Our nation doesn't want to go to war. Whenever we see anything to do with war, what happens? No, we're not getting involved. We talk, but we don't do anything. And whatever's going to be happening right here, these nations are going to be talking. Russia, what are you doing? Stop it. We're going to hit you with sanctions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But they don't do anything. They stay back and take no action. Is this us? I don't know. But it's the nations in that day, and no one takes action against them. And again, Vladimir Putin has learned that when he decides to do something, nobody stops him. Have you noticed that? All it takes is more steps of boldness, and then you know what? I'll take what I want. Who's going to stop me? Nobody, because nobody will. And that's exactly what the Bible says it'll be like when this battle takes place. That's another reason we see that we're battle ready for Ezekiel 38 in the world today. Therefore, verse 14, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the north, you and many peoples with you. There they are from the north and all the peoples. You see the arrows, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And by the way, the Muslim countries and Arab countries still ride horses today in their battles. You will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud. Now you can see how it'd be like a cloud. Completely swallowing them from all sides, completely enveloping them from all sides to cover the land. It will be, notice this, in the latter days, not the last days, specifically the latter, the very end language of prophecy. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Listen to what he's saying. I'm going to raise you up, Russia, and the leader of Russia, so that I can destroy you and make the whole world know that I'm God and that I'm the God of Israel. Does this remind you of anybody? Remember Pharaoh? When everyone was turning against the Jews and God raised Pharaoh up, and he raised Pharaoh up, he said, I'm raising you up as a witness. I'm raising you up as the testimony to show my power that I'm the God of Israel, that I'm going to protect Israel. And he struck Pharaoh and struck his armies and defeated them. And the world at that point, when that happened, the whole world knew that God existed and that he was the God of Israel. And God says he's going to do the same thing in the latter days. He's going to raise up this Russian leader, whoever it happens to be at that time. And God says, I'm going to show that I'm God and you're not. That I'm in control and you're not. And I'm going to wipe you out and the whole world's going to know and Israel's going to know. And we're going to see next week in chapter 39 that Israel will know that they have their God and God will once again pour out his spirit and there'll be a great revival among the nation of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, note this, that my fury will show in my face. God says, nobody's going to defend Israel. America, you're not going to defend them. Nobody's going to come to them. I will. I will defend them. I will stand up. I will be their God. I will be their deliverer. I will destroy their enemies on the northern end of Israel, which again, we're going to see next week happens in chapter 39. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day, there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. So when this battle takes place, God's going to use part of his destructive force to the force of an earthquake. And it's a mighty one. Look at verse 20. So that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. So it's going to knock down boulders and things from mountains. The steep places shall fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. So God will cause confusion in all these armies, and they'll begin to fight each other, which he has done historically in other battles. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and with bloodshed. I will rain down on him and on his troops and on many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. How that's going to happen, we don't know, but we'll get more into that again next week in chapter 39 because he talks about it in more detail. And look what he says in verse 33. Thus I will magnify myself and I will sanctify myself and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And the Bible says when this happens, God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel. Now, we're not going to jump into 39, but kind of just a summary of where we are with this. These armies and this battle will take place. God will destroy them. We'll see that destruction next week of where they're going to be and how God's going to do that to some degree. We don't have all the details. And then the Bible says the world will realize that God came to the defense of Israel, that there's no way that Israel could have stopped Russia, all these European nations all coming in from Iran, from Libya, from Ethiopia, all these. He says there's no way that they could have won this battle. There's no way. The God of Israel had to intervene. And it says the world will at least recognize there's a God of Israel. It doesn't say the world will be saved or believe. It says they'll recognize it. They'll know that he's there. And Israel is going to recognize their God. And they're going to recognize their Messiah. The Bible says, and we're going to get to this in chapter 39, that the Lord's going to pour out his spirit on them at this time, and 144,000 will be saved automatically right away. 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 from each tribe. I don't know why I can't talk today. I'm sorry. How can you laugh about that? I don't know. But the bottom line is, guys, they're going to be the world's evangelists. The Bible says they'll be used to evangelize the world. What about the church? Where will the church be? Ah, good question. Good question. Because the Bible says the church will be taken out of here sometime around that. The rapture of the church will take place, and the responsibility to spread the gospel will be shifted over to the nation of Israel, the 144,000, and the two prophets that are going to rise up and begin to prophesy on CNN, Fox News, and all the other channels from Jerusalem. And God will give another 7 years for the world to repent of their sins. Some will be saved, some will not. After 3.5 years of peace, semi-peace, where this world ruler will come in after this battle and establish this world peace, there's going to be, again, the great contractions, what we call the great tribulation, which really only covers the last 3.5 years. And at the end of that 3.5 years, God gives opportunity up to the very end for mankind to be saved. And then the Bible says he comes back in his judgment from the throne, separating the sheep from the goats. Those that are the sheep who know him go into the kingdom, and we go into the kingdom in our new bodies. They come in as they are, and then those who are not are cast into outer darkness. Guys, it's an amazing future ahead of you. And if you don't think you're living in Bible days, you're not reading your Bible. Because you're living in biblical days. As much, if not more so, than when Jesus walked the earth, everything is happening. But here's what I want you to know today as we wrap it up. The Lord's in control. He told us all this was going to happen. He's given us eyes to see. Our responsibility is to share it with those around us. Our responsibility is to give hope to those around us, to let them know that the Lord is in control and that he's coming back soon and we better be ready. Yes, will some mock? Absolutely. But that's been going on since the beginning of time. Our responsibility is to be faithful, to share, and trust the Lord. So guys, when you're watching the news, now you know a little bit more to look to and what to be watching for. Next week, we're going to see how God is going to wipe them out in this amazing culmination at the northern end of Israel. They'll all actually come around if the arrows really could all point to the very top of Israel, because that's where they're going to be gathered, where the Lord is going to wipe them out up there at that very spot and wipe out the armies, if you will, and show his power and show his glory. We're going to see how they're going to be using the weapons for years after that for other reasons there and other things there in the nation of Israel. And we're going to see how God's even going to use nature and the birds to clean the mess up. I'll give you one teaser. Israel is the number two migration spot in the world. Every fall, 500 million birds fly over the skies of Israel, which is why I believe this battle will take place in the fall, because there's going to be a lot of cleanup. We'll get to that in Ezekiel 39. Let's pray. Father, is this the fall that this battle takes place? We don't know. All we know is that we're right now in a worldwide contraction. You've told us what to be watching for. You've told us what to expect. We're watching it happen. We understand what's going on in Missouri. The world doesn't. We understand what's going on in Iraq. The world doesn't. We understand what's going on in Israel. The world doesn't. Because you've shown us what a privileged position we live in, Lord. Thank you that we're your children. And thank you, God, that you show us and have shown us what's going to happen. But more than that, Lord, I want to thank you that you're in control. I thank you for the peace that this gives to our heart to know that our Father is the God ruling all things, and we can rest in you. But Lord, in the meantime, we pray for your mercy. God, we pray for your mercy on those right now suffering in Iraq, among the Sunni and the Shia. We pray, God, for your mercy for those suffering in Israel and in the Gaza. God, we pray for your mercy for those suffering right now in Ferguson County in Missouri. God, we need you. We need you desperately. Only you can clean this mess up. No man can figure it out. No one can solve the problems. Only you. And we're looking for you to come back to do just that. We give you all the glory. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we pray, God, you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be your witnesses, but also, God, fill us with your understanding so that we would have rest and trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for showing us your word and what's going to happen. Now help us to live accordingly. We love you, Jesus, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.